You really can't scroll through your news feed these days without seeing it, can you? Some headline screaming AI is stealing jobs, or, robots are coming for your livelihood.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's definitely a narrative that's really taken hold, and it's fueling a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty about work.
Absolutely. So, okay, let's try and unpack this. What's the actual truth behind these stories? Is AI really this job-snatching monster the headlines make it out to be? Or is there something, well, maybe more nuanced playing out inside companies right now? Today, we're really on a mission to cut through all that noise, all the sensationalism, and see what's genuinely happening on the ground. We've dug into a whole stack of sources, specifically looking at real-world enterprise data.
That's right. And for this deep dive, we've been focused on insights coming directly from companies, talking about how they're practically using AI agents.
Okay.
We're looking at what IT organizations are actually seeing, what they're reporting, specifically when it comes to job loss.
So not just projections or fears, but actual reported experiences.
Exactly. This isn't about, some far-off future, maybe. It's about what businesses are experiencing now, what they're reporting now as they roll out AI. And it gives us this really grounded perspective on what's become a supercharged topic.
Before we get into the numbers, though, maybe just quickly clarify when we say AI agents, what exactly are we talking about here?
Good point. So think of them as autonomous software programs. They're designed for specific tasks, and they often interact with systems or even people, like intelligent digital assistants or little automatons working inside a business process.
Got it. Digital workers, essentially.
Pretty much. And what's interesting is that our sources show companies tend to split these AI agent applications into three distinct buckets.
Okay.
And each bucket has a different focus and, crucially, a different impact on labor.
Right. Let's break those down then. What's the first category?
The first one they talk about is reactive AI. These are basically intelligent response systems, often kind of rule-based or designed for very specific, predictable interactions.
Like chatbots.
Exactly. Think of those customized chatbots you see in sales or customer support. They handle a set range of questions. Right now, they make up a pretty big chunk, roughly 45% of the agent applications companies are using today.
45%? That's quite significant.
It is, but interestingly, companies expect this to drop quite a bit, down to maybe 20% of all AI usage in the longer term.
And the impact on jobs for this reactive AI?
Well, the justification is often about labor efficiency gains. It can reduce the need for, say, call center personnel. But here's the key thing enterprises noted. Few of these people are employees.
Ah, so they're often contractors.
Precisely. So any job loss there often hits external contractors, not necessarily the company's direct staff.
Okay, that immediately complicates the simple AI is stealing our jobs narrative, doesn't it? If it's hitting contractors first.
It does.
So what about the second category? You called it embedded AI. Does that follow the same pattern, or does it start to impact internal teams more directly?
That's a really important question. So this second group, embedded AI, makes up about 31% of current agent use. And the projection is it'll stay fairly steady, maybe around 25% in the future.
And this is AI built into workflows.
Exactly. It's integrated right into existing processes. And with embedded AI, enterprises do consistently report reductions in labor cost.
Okay, labor cost. That sounds more like what people worry about.
It does, but we need to be careful. Successful projects here show about a 25% reduction in labor costs on average. Though that number varies a lot. Sometimes it's 10%, sometimes it's closer to 50%.
But does a 25% labor cost reduction automatically mean, 25% fewer people? Layoffs?
Not necessarily. That's the crucial distinction. It can mean fewer heads, yes. But often it means the existing staff can handle a lot more work, or maybe the company doesn't need to hire as many new people as it grows.
Or reallocating people.
Exactly. Or shifting human talent to more complex, maybe more valuable tasks that the AI can't handle. The goal is definitely to make things leaner, more efficient, but it's not always synonymous with mass layoffs of current employees.
Okay, that's a key nuance. Reactive AI hits contractors. Embedded AI drives labor cost efficiency, which isn't always direct job cuts. Now the third one, workflow AI. This sounds like the big one. It's projected to be the majority of future applications, right?
That's what they expect, yes.
This is where the real anxiety often kicks in for people, isn't it? The fear that AI will just completely rebuild workflows and make whole jobs redundant. What did the sources say about its impact?
Okay, brace yourself.
Yeah.
Because this is where our deep dive really delved at something quite surprising.
Uh-huh.
Despite all the fear and despite its projected massive growth, enterprises reported that workflow AI agents have had Ready for this?
Lay it on me.
Absolutely no impact on employment in their companies. Yeah.
Wait, zero? None?
Zero. Zip. Nada. Right now, it's the smallest group, only about 24% of applications. But, like you said, companies expect this to become the main thing, maybe two-thirds of all AI used down the road.
That is genuinely startling. The category that's supposed to take over the world is currently having no impact on jobs. That flies directly in the face of almost everything we hear.
It really does. And even looking ahead, when they imagined it fully deployed, enterprises thought workflow AI might, and that's a, might have about a 10% impact.
Okay, 10%.
But, and this is really important, that's 10% only on the jobs directly related to those specific applications and those related jobs. They're only about a quarter of all the jobs in these companies.
Right, so it's a fraction of a fraction.
Exactly. So you do the math. The total potential impact for workflow AI, even when fully deployed, according to these companies, is a reduction of maybe only 2-3% of their overall jobs.
2-3%. That's minimal.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the headlines.
Minimal is the word. Even in the most, let's say, AI optimistic long-term scenarios they shared.
So, okay, let's zoom out then. We've looked at the three types. What about the big picture? Across the entire company workforce, what are companies saying about total employment levels due to AI?
This is where it gets even clearer, and maybe even more surprising. We found that no enterprise, not one, reported seeing even a 10% reduction in their total workforce because of AI.
Not a single one.
Yeah. Not one. And if you drill down into specific departments or job types, only about a tenth of companies saw any single job category drop by more than a fifth.
Okay.
And even looking longer term, projecting out, nobody thought AI would cut their total jobs by 10% or more in the future. Nobody.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, hearing this? I mean, this data just directly challenges that whole narrative, that widespread story of imminent massive job losses from AI.
It really does.
It's a huge disconnect, isn't it, between the public conversation and what companies, the ones actually using the AI, are reporting.
It's a massive disconnect.
Which really makes you wonder, if the data from enterprises shows such a minimal impact, why are we constantly hearing these stories about AI stealing jobs? Where's all that noise coming from?
That's the critical question, isn't it? And enterprises basically gave us two main reasons for this gap.
Okay, what's the first one?
The number one driver, the main reason for any recent workforce cuts or hiring slowdowns, is actually pretty old-fashioned. It's economic uncertainty.
The economy. Not AI.
Not AI. Companies looking ahead into 2025 were consistently planning to reduce hiring or maybe trim their workforce, but it wasn't because AI suddenly made people redundant. It was because of worries about the broader economy, maybe new administration policies, things like tariffs, uncertainty around interest rates.
So standard business cycle stuff.
Exactly. Those economic reasons were quoted as being way ahead of AI as a reason to reduce jobs.
Okay, so the economic climate is the real heavyweight here, completely overshadowing AI. But you said there were two reasons. What's the second one? You hinted it might be a bit more calculated.
Precisely. And the second reason, well, it gives you a really illuminating peek behind the portrait curtain, you could say. That's a bit more cynical, maybe. But it shows how these narratives get used strategically.
Mm.
One enterprise source just laid it out very candidly. They said, and I'm quoting here, let's see, we can tell Wall Street that the business outlook is uncertain, so we're cutting jobs. Or we can tell them AI is letting us cut.
Wow.
The first makes our stock go down, and the second makes it go up.
That is startlingly honest. It just strips away all the hype and shows a really calculated strategic communication move.
Does it?
So if you're a company facing economic headwinds, blaming job cuts on AI efficiency isn't just about looking modern. It's about actually boosting your stock price.
That's the implication. It's seen as a positive signal to the market efficiency forward thinking, whereas admitting economic weakness is negative.
So is it just a lie then?
Well, maybe not an outright lie, more like optimistic framing. There's perhaps a hope that maybe AI will eventually allow a smaller workforce to handle things, especially if economic pressures are forcing cuts anyway.
Ah, okay. A hope, not a current reality driving the cuts.
Exactly. And the sources were clear. No enterprise suggested that they were sure they could respond to economic uncertainty with an AI-reduced workforce. The strong feeling we got from their comments was that AI often serves as a convenient, PR play to explain the decision to reduce staff.
A PR play for Wall Street. That's a massive insight. It totally reframes how we should probably read those headlines. Gives you, the listener, a way to look past the surface story.
Definitely.
Okay, so it might be a brilliant PR tactic for the stock market, but it fundamentally misrepresents why companies are actually investing so heavily in AI, doesn't it? If it's not mainly about slashing jobs right now, what is the real compelling business case? Why pour billions into it?
And that really is the pivotal question, because the answer is huge. The core of the whole AI story, according to these enterprises, isn't about mass displacement at all. It's about generating absolutely monumental economic benefits, even with what seem like conservative targets.
Monumental benefits. Okay, quantify that for us.
Let's try. So just look at the U.S. for context. Total labor compensation, like all wages and benefits, is roughly $18 trillion. That's about, what, 59% of a $30 trillion GDP?
Okay, huge numbers.
Huge numbers. Now, enterprises believe AI will eventually touch or impact labor that represents about 45% of that total pie. So 45% of $18 trillion is around $8 trillion worth of labor potentially influenced by AI someday.
$8 trillion. Still enormous.
Right. Now, remember what we found about the actual job reduction expectations. Even the highest figures hinted at were well under 10% overall. Let's use, say, 8% as a potential maximum impact figure derived from those enterprise comments.
Okay, 8% reduction on that $8 trillion pool of labor.
Exactly. What does that translate to? It's a benefit of over $600
billion. $600
billion? Over $600
billion. Right.
Annually, potentially.
That's astronomical. It almost makes the whole job displacement fear seem like, I don't know, focusing on a tiny detail when the entire landscape is shifting underneath us.
Precisely. And just to give that $600 billion even more context, that single number is about half of the entire current annual spending on IT in the U.S.
Half of all IT spending, just from hitting these relatively modest AI efficiency targets.
That's what the math suggests, based on what enterprises themselves are indicating.
Mm-hmm.
So even if AI only achieves these seemingly modest expectations, as our sources put it, it would utterly revolutionize IT spending and IT itself and the vendors and probably our whole relationship with technology.
That's the real revolution then. Less dramatic than killer robots, maybe, but profoundly impactful in terms of economics and technology strategy.
That's the picture emerging from the enterprise data.
Yes.
A quieter but massive economic transformation.
Which brings us back, I guess, to the media. If this is the reality, minimal job loss now, driven by economics, but massive future efficiency gains, why don't these nuanced factual details make the headlines?
Yeah, why isn't that the story we hear all the time? Well, you have to think about media incentives, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Stories get written to be read, right?
Yeah.
And especially in the tech and economic news space, they need to generate clicks that serve ads.
And fear sells clicks.
Fear sells clicks. Sensational narratives like AI is stealing your job are just inherently more compelling, more immediately clickable for a lot of people than, say, a nuanced discussion about
economic uncertainty drivers versus PR strategies.
Exactly. Or even the implications of $600 billion in potential efficiency gains. It's weighty. It's complex. It doesn't have that immediate visceral punch.
So the simpler, scarier story wins out, even if it's not the full picture.
That seems to be the dynamic. And one source put it quite poignantly. The sad thing is that the truth is good enough to make AI a success, a great success. But that complex, truthful story, it's just not the one that tends to get amplified.
Wow. Well, this deep dive has certainly pulled back the curtain. I think for you listening, the core takeaway here is that the reality of AI's impact on jobs, at least right now, is just far more complex, far more subtle than those headlines let on.
Mm-hmm.
Economic pressures seem to be the real driver of workforce changes currently, while AI's true revolution, the one companies are betting on, seems to lie in its potential for honestly staggering efficiency gains and strategic shifts, even without causing widespread job chaos right now.
That's a great summary.
Hopefully it empowers you to look beyond the fear-mongering and really understand the deeper strategic currents at play.
And maybe one final thought to leave people with, something to chew on.
Please.
Everything we've discussed today, the impact of AI agents, it largely focuses on, you know, office workers, knowledge workers.
Yeah.
The folks already heavily involved with IT.
Right.
But there's this massive other segment of the workforce, right? Maybe 40% of workers who haven't really been deeply touched by IT empowerment yet.
Mm-hmm.
Think manufacturing, logistics, construction, healthcare services, field services.
It's a huge part of the economy.
Huge. And they make up something like 55% of the total labor compensation pie we talked about earlier.
Okay, so where are you going with this?
Well, what if we figure out how to really get AI involved there?
to empower those workers, enhance those jobs. If AI starts significantly impacting that 55% of the labor cost, that would really raise the stakes considerably.
That would be a whole other level of transformation.
It could represent an even bigger IT revolution than the $600 billion efficiency gain we just explored for office work. It's a massive untapped potential.
A really profound thought to end on. So, the future of AI and work. It's clearly not just about the fears we hear today, but about understanding these deeper strategic shifts, these massive economic potentials, and maybe even opportunities that are still way over the horizon.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.